How about that? Good morning, Reach. Good to see you guys, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm excited to be here. I got to tell you, I promise I won't spill the water on the keyboard. I promise I won't. Wow, this is so cool. Anybody go to the March leadership, the leadership conference we had in March? That was ridiculously cool. That was ridiculously cool. And we finished up that. We came together. And Heath has probably told you this, that the four of us, us four pastors, meet together. And sometimes we meet together to talk about how it really stinks to be a pastor today. Kind of. And talk about you guys, not by name. No, I'm just teasing. But we come together, man, and we want to do the kingdom together. And what is so cool is there's so much diversity between the four of us. And it's Heath, to me, you open up the dictionary to All-American Kid, boom, there's Heath. Picture, perfect, you know? And then you got Chris. Chris over at Crosswinds, I just kind of like to call him predictable, but in a good way, in a really good way. And then you got Lucas, and Lucas messed it all up because he had hair down below his shoulders. And he's a surfer, and he makes surfboards, and he's just cool. And then he cut his hair off all before the series started, so now it's all jacked up. And then you got me, and I'm going to lay it out there, okay? Guys, without Jesus, you're looking at a dope smoking, alcohol drinking, woman chasing nitwit. That's who I am without Jesus. And I just got something really cool Friday night at Celebrate Recovery. 16 years. That's all what Jesus does. And I just, man, one of the first verses I ever learned one of the first verses that I chose to learn in the Bible that I wanted was in Matthew, and it's chapter 6, and it's verse 33, and most of you probably know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And so when we decided to do this Sermon on the Mount series, it was like, okay, yeah, don't worry, that's me. Give me that one, guys. That's an easy one for me. And I got to tell you, quite honestly, I am extremely nervous right now. But that's a good thing, because every time when I'm extremely nervous, I got to, God, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. So would you join me in prayer as I call out to my Father? God, it's got to be you. King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of it all, master of the universe, my bright morning star, my joy, my redeemer, my strong tower, my refuge. God, you are my all in all. And Father, I stand before your throne with a broken, humble heart. Jesus, do what you do. As we broke open the word of life, the bread, God, would you give us the ability not only to consume the bread, but to devour it, to digest it, and to live it. My sweet Jesus, thank you for allowing me to be here in your presence today, where two or more are gathered. I believe it. And you've got something really, really big going on here today. Do what you do in the holiest, holiest, holiest name of my sweet Jesus, I pray. Amen. You guys may have a little handout there, kind of some outlines. Hang on, guys, because I don't do notes. Sorry. I do two messages every Sunday morning, and they're never the same. The outline's the same. But what I want to do is I just want to... Heather, did you pick the music knowing what my message was? That's awesome. That was just so cool. Not to worry. Anybody worry? Tell us, Ruth. No, you're saying, no, I don't worry. Yeah. I have my mother-in-law, she's with Jesus today. This is my wife, by the way. Y'all say hey to Vicky. Hey, Vicky. Vicky and I will be married 32 years next month. And she saw all of it. She knew me back the 16 years ago before, so... And she used to, as a praying wife, man, there's power there. So if anybody in this room struggling, don't give up for your loved one. Keep praying. Sorry, so where was I at? Vicky's mama, Wilma. Sweetest lady you know, man. She's got a twin sister. It was Wilma Bell and Elma Bell, okay? And Wilma, if she wasn't worrying about something, she was worrying because she didn't have something to worry about. She just worried, man, all the time. And it was just her nature. And it kind of just stinks to worry. It doesn't accumulate anything. You know that 99.9% of the stuff you worry about never happens, right? So let's talk a little bit about that this morning. And what I want to do is I'm going to run through some scripture here, verses 25 through the end of the chapter and verse chapter 6 in Matthew. If you've got your Bibles, I would invite you to open that up. We're gonna read some scripture. And man, God, just open our hearts to what you're putting here, Lord. In your holy name, I pray. So we got Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and it starts off, therefore. You ever wonder why that's there for? What is that there for? There's a reason. Every time you see therefore in the Bible, there's a reason for that. And what that reason is it wants to join two thoughts, okay? So if you start off and it says, therefore, I tell you, you're missing something. You got to back up to get and see what we're there for. So real quick, let's back up, and you just hang on for the ride, and we're going to roll with it. Matthew chapter 5 says, Now when he saw the crowds, he being Jesus, he went up on the mountainside, and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them. Blessed is the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the people who insult you. And then he says, you're the salt of the earth. Do you get what's going on here? Jesus Christ has pulled the folks together, his disciples and a huge crowd, and he's teaching them the basics of life. This is how to get through it. Here's the basics. And he said, blessed are. And then he says, you're the salt and the light of the world. You know what salt's for, right? It enhances the flavor. Listen, a couple weeks ago, Vicky and I went over to the steakhouse in Wilmington, and listen, I love a good piece of steak. I really do. And we sat down, and I got a 16-ounce ribeye. And I always and they always ask, would you like steak sauce? I hope I don't need it. I really do hope I don't need it. And so I cut that thing, man, and I got to go with a little fat on it too, okay, because that's the flavor, all right? And I bit into that steak, and it was good. It was real good. Then I took a little salt and put it on that steak. And what did it do? Pow! It enhanced the flavor. And that's what he's telling you and I to be the salt of the world, to enhance the flavor, to purify, to preserve. He's teaching us how to live. This is crazy stuff. Whoops, lost the page. And he says, salt of the world. And then he says, Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come to fulfill the law. And then he talks about murder. He's talking about all these things that we need to do to live right and how to live without worry in our lives. And he says, you've heard it said that people long ago do not murder. Okay, cool, that's good. Anyone who murders is subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who has anger or hates his brother has murdered. A lot of that junk going on around today. Do not murder. Adultery. Stop. I'll just go on around that one. Divorce. Oaths. This is cool. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. How simple would life be if we could just do that? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. He's teaching us how to walk this life. An eye for an eye. If some of you want, I can't even read this morning, it's okay. And if someone wants to sue you, take and give them your tunic and leave them your cloak too. And if someone forces to go a mile, go 2 miles. go 2 miles. Here's a great one. Love your enemies. I got a little add-on to that. Love your enemies. You made them. Wow. Give to the needy. We're walking through the book of James on Wednesday nights right now, and man, what a powerful book. I would recommend anybody do a study on the book of James. That's just a ridiculously good book. He talks about faith without works is dead. Now, you're not saved by your faith, or your works, excuse me. You're not saved by your works. But if you got faith, it produces works. You want to serve. Prayer. How about that? Here's a model. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First thing is I recognize how holy my God is, how reverent my God is when I'm praying. Jesus is teaching us how to walk and live, and this is amazing sermon stuff here. Good stuff. And he talks about fasting, and he talks about, here's one every pastor loves to talk about, treasures in heaven. Most of you in this room probably don't do the you know, hardcore checkbook anymore. Checks and balances. You know, most of everything I think is online. I think the only check you write now is tithe, right? It used to be that let me see your checkbook and I can see where your heart is. And Jesus says, your treasures are where your heart is. That's a big one to worry about, isn't it? That's killer. And then we come down to the therefore. I tell you how to live. I got you to this point. Now it says, it's therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about what your body will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, and they don't stow away in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Why, or who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about the clothes? See the lilies of the field? See them grow, see the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, and yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and tomorrow it's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O, you of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. Verse 25, first things, therefore. It's there for a reason. I want you to get that. Okay, and here's the reason. It's to join these two thoughts together. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to join these thoughts together so you can recognize why you need not worry. Why you should not worry. And all of us worry. And Jesus is saying, don't worry. I got this. Check this out. He talks about these birds. And then he says, are you not much more valuable than these? I'm taking care of the birds. I'm taking care of the little turtles. I'm taking care of all of this. Don't you think you're much more valuable to me than this? Do you remember back in the beginning, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he created the seas and the waters. And he decided where it would start. And he even created those sharks. Right? He created all of us. He created the trees. And he said, this is good. He created the animals and he said, this is good. He created the atmosphere and he said, this is good. He created all of this and he said, this is good. And then he created man. Do you know what he said? This is very good. Do you understand that you are much more valuable to him? You are a masterpiece. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. says he has created you as a masterpiece. You, individually, just the way you sit in this room, you're a masterpiece. And not only are you have much more value and you're a masterpiece, he says, I created you as a masterpiece to do the good works I had planned in advance for you. You're a masterpiece with a plan and a purpose, and you are much more valuable than you can even comprehend in the eyes of old God Almighty. And this is amazing stuff. He says, are you not much more valuable than they? Who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Who can add? What's worrying doing? Why are you worrying? Why are you worrying? Could I tell you why you're worrying? And why do you worry about the clothes and see how the lilies of the field grow? And they do not spin or labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in fire, will he not much more clothe you? Why do you worry? Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. One of the things that I have been encouraging the Point Church to do is to be here this month of July. I told them, listen, man, if you plan on dying, wait until August. I mean, get there. Because there's two reasons I want folks at the Point this week and the next week and the next week. Number one, and this is pitiful. God, please forgive me. Pride. Heath, Chris, and Lucas are my buddies. And I want to look good before them. I'm sorry. That's wrong as the day is long. I know it. But it is pride. It's pride. But the real reason is because I believe that God is doing some amazing stuff. And we're going to experience his presence. And we're going to have an experience, a personal experience that will take you through the next level. Oh, you of little faith. There's probably some Bible scholars in here. There's probably some folks that can interpret this in the Greek and the Hebrew and all that good stuff. That's awesome. I'm glad you're here. Just don't tell me, okay? You'll intimidate me. But you and I could debate the word. We could debate the word. And you may be able to beat me up a little bit on its background and all this, this, that, and the other. But can I tell you one thing you can't touch? My personal experiences with God. Amen. You can't touch that. And that generates faith. And here's my point. You worrying in life, could you just stop and step back on that timeline and remember when you experienced God? Oh, you of little faith. Why are you worrying? Jesus said that one other time, oh, you of little faith. Actually, he said it a couple of times, but one of my favorite times he said it is my boy in the Bible, all right, my partner in the Bible. I think him and I would hang out as Peter because he shoots from the hip, man. And Peter's my, and you remember when the disciples were in the boat and the storm was tossing and raging and they were freaking out and all of a sudden they saw this ghost walking on the water and, hey, it's a ghost. And, oh, no, wait a minute, it's Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, let me walk on water. And Jesus Christ preached an entire sermon with one word. He said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. Stinking walking on water. Now listen, this is not a small boat. It's got 12 people in it, at least 12 people. It's got all the fishing gear. So it's sitting up on, I'm thinking, Peter didn't step out. He had to jump out. And he's walking on water. And he's got faith in Jesus because he said, come. And he's focused on Christ. And he's moving forward with Jesus. And then he looks and sees the storms and the waves crashing and the wind blowing. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sinks. Oh, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus say? Oh, you of little faith. You want to know why you're, why you're worrying? Oh, you of little faith. And if we get this next nugget, then we can move forward with that faith. He says,
in verse 32, for the pagans run after these things. I'm one of those. I was one of those. And your Heavenly Father knows. Your Heavenly Father knows. He knows that you need them. You think you're surprising God with your needs? He knows what you need. He will provide. David, King David, says, I am old. I was once young. And I have never seen the righteous or their children begging for bread. He knows what you need. Trust. Trust him. He knows what you need. And then comes the verse. Here's the verse, guys. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. What's first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Why are you worrying? Because you ain't seeking him first. I love that verse. That's one of the first verses I chose to memorize. I used to be a children's pastor before I moved here and started the Point Church, and I love kids. I love working with kids. It is such a blast. Such young, healthy hearts, and watching these kids and sixth grade boys. I had like a class full of them, man. It was crazy how many kids we had at our church, and man, I loved them. I would hold like a Nerf football, and if I caught you not paying attention, you would get pinged in the head. That's the way I roll, bro. But one of the things that I did when I would teach these kids the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments, that's difficult. I would say, guys, if you can get number one, the rest of them will fall into place. If you can get number one, the rest of them, it's almost like the 12 steps that I follow for my sobriety. They're in order for a reason. And if you can get number one, can somebody help me out with number one? Thou shalt have no other God before me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Point Church lives on one little motto, if you will. And that motto is simply this: love God and love others. Where did I get that? I remember the first time I ever read the Bible. From in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, to the last amen in chapter 22 of Revelation. Read every word. I was so pumped up. I had an accountability partner that I met every Tuesday morning at Starbucks in Northern Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, and went and sat down with him. And I said, hey, Kevin, I did it, bro. I read every word in the Bible, every word. And he's like, that's awesome. What did you learn? What do you mean, what I learned? What is it, a book report? What did I learn? And I started thinking about that. Well, what did I learn, guys? What's this all about? What's this book all about? And I came to the conclusion in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus Christ is challenged by the Pharisees. And they're asking him, Jesus, what's the number one thing? If I can only maintain one of the laws out of all the 613 or whatever Mosaic laws there are, what's the number one thing that I need to do, Jesus? And he says this very simply: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's the most important thing. And the second is like it. The second is just as important. The second is similar to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm simple. That's a lot to remember. I like love God and love others. That's the point, folks. Heather, we're going to close out now. What's first? Would you think about that with me for a second? In your life, what's first? Are you worrying? Are you struggling? Are you got challenges in your life? Did you just sometimes feel like you're in a dead end and there's no way out? What's first? I'm sorry. Here, take it all. 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 Oh, that's a good song. What's first in your life? I always close my messages with
this statement, what's the point? What's the point? And I'm going to ask you right now, do you understand what it's there for? Do you understand what all that's there for? It's there for you. It's there for you. I just want to close with prayer, and then Heather's going to take over. Would you guys pray with me? This morning, Holy God, we're here for a reason, to devour your word. God, would you penetrate our hearts with it? And sweet Jesus, maybe there's somebody in this room today that's not experienced God like I'm talking. And that experience comes from total surrender to what Jesus did on the cross. And if you're here this morning and you've not put God first, and today is the day that you choose to do that, I'm going to do something a little different maybe than you guys do here. I want everybody closing their eyes and everybody's heads bowed. And if you're in this room this morning and you know that God is speaking to your heart and it's time to put him first through what Jesus did on the cross, while everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed, I want you, if you're ready to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you and only you to open your eyes, and I want you to look directly at me, and I want to be communicating with you, and we're speaking. Today is the day that you want Jesus as your Savior. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with my brothers and sisters. And I pray, sweet Jesus, that we would worry no more and that we would seek you and all your righteousness and rest in your arms. My God, my God, thank you for loving me. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray.